Announcement. Good. Okay. Announcements will be later. Okay. We're going to finish Be'ezras Hashem today, the Ein Mukdam Ucha BaTorah issue. And Be'ezras Hashem tomorrow, we'll go back to Inyanim of Bedikas Chametz and the meat of the first parak of Pesachim. All right. So we began yesterday in the Inyan of Ein Mukdam Ucha BaTorah. Gemara had mentioned the pasuk in Parshas Baloscha and the pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, one referring to the Tzivoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they should bring the Pesach Midbar on the 14th of Nisan of the second year, one the Tzivoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe that they should count, he should count in Israel, which was on the first of Iyar. The Gemara notices that the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar is a Tzivoy that occurred later, the beginning of Iyar, than what is mentioned later in Sefer Bamidbar Baloscha, which is a Tzivoy that took place on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which was earlier. So why didn't we begin Sefer Bamidbar with the Parsha of Pesach Midbar? So that's where the Gemara brought in the name of Rav, the rule, the famous rule that we've heard so many times, Ein Mukdam Uchar BaTorah. We should, just by way of introduction, again, we're going to look at the Gemara in the context here. It's important to see that the Gemara says it in a specific context. It's true that the Mefarshi HaTorah, Rashi, for example, many places, and many of the Mefarshi HaTorah use this rule, apply it, discuss it, which obviously means that what the Gemara is saying here has broader implications. But we have to know how much of what the Gemara is saying here in terms of the parameters of the issue have to be translated into the larger area, the larger arena of, you could say, Parshanut HaMikra, when we just want to explain Sipurei HaTorah. Obviously, Ein Mukdam Ucha BaTorah is an idea. It's a concept. It has some kind of rationale. And the Rishonim mentioned also discuss why shouldn't the Torah follow chronology? It's also important to notice that the Gemara here is discussing it in a specific context. And we have to know to what extent the specific details that the Gemara presents here have to conform to what we say it in a larger idea. Okay, so what does the Gemara establish to us? For us, Ein Mukdam Uchar BaTorah. The first thing we notice, just by way of, again, just the context in the Gemara, the Gemara is saying it to explain why the Torah mentions the story of Pesach Midbar later on in Sefer Bamidbar, even though it happened before the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar when Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu about counting Kal Yisrael. Okay, so you could say that's what it is. Ein Mukdam Ucha BaTorah, there's nothing else we have to say. Ein Mukdam Ucha BaTorah. You look in Rashi and Chumash, Rashi quotes our Gemara. Rashi says, Ein Mukdam Ucha BaTorah. But Rashi doesn't stop with that. Rashi continues, and as we had shared yesterday, Rashi explains, so why didn't the Torah begin Sefer Bamidbar with the story of the Dibur HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Pesach Midbar? It happened first. Rashi gives a whole explanation based on the Sifrei, that this Pesach Midbar is Genusan Shel Yisrael. There's a certain aspect that it sheds light negatively on Klal Yisrael because we know they only offered one Pesach in the entire time they were in the Midbar. And to the extent that Tosis raises the question in Kedushin, why is it Genusan Shel Yisrael? And Mai said they weren't Mitzuveh until Eretz Yisrael itself when they got in. This was a specific Haras Shah, as we know. So nevertheless, that was the Maharal we spoke at. However, we explain it, that at the end of the day, Tosfos gave his teretz. They should have not sinned with the Maragim. The Maharal says, well, my Segnus and Yisrael it is, because they didn't offer any other Pesach, even though they didn't have the Tzibur. But the question is as follows. The Chassam Sofer so wonders about this. How could Rashi continue and discuss why the Torah didn't put it first? The answer is what it is. Ein Mukdam Ucha BaTorah. Rashi seems to be trying to give an explanation. If he gave the explanation, then why do you have to say Mukdam Ucha BaTorah? We already know. Why isn't it first? Because Genusan Shel Yisrael. The Torah doesn't want to start a new sefer of the Torah with something which is going to highlight some shame aspect of Klal Yisrael. So the assumption of the Chassam Sofer, and this seems to be the Pnei Yeshua's approach as well, that they don't go together. In other words, if you go with the Sifrei, which is that the Torah doesn't want to start with the story of Pesach Midbar because Genusan Shel Yisrael, then it's not the Gemara in Pesach and Davav, Ein Mukdam Ucha BaTorah. We have another explanation. L'maisa in Rashi, we see otherwise. In Rashi, we see that the two are not mutually exclusive. In other words, you have to start by establishing the idea, the principle of Ein Mukdam Ucha BaTorah. But even after you say Mukdam Ucha BaTorah, but doesn't mean the Torah has bedafka go out of order. If you don't know, the Torah doesn't have to, don't assume the Torah has to follow chronology. There's an idea here of Emukta Machmet Torah. Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Dibur of Pesach Midbar, before he spoke the Dibur to Moshe about counting Suas Rosh B'nei Israel. But still, why didn't the Torah put in the Sefer Torah the Dibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that actually came first? So there could still be a reason that we can associate with why the Torah went out of order. And Rashi offers it. This is specifically in the context of our Gemara. But the truth is, if we broaden the rule in general to Parshanut HaMikra as well, as Rishonim do, so we also could always say it's not just about Emukta Mochav HaTorah, and that's the answer. Okay, but why did the Torah choose to go out of order? There must be a reason. And just because you offer reason doesn't mean that you're negating the principle. The principle still is operative, but you can also offer an explanation of why the Torah chose to go out of order. That's the simple way I would understand Rashi. It's not a stira. Rashi feels that the Sifrei is valid, but the Gemara that establishes the rule in Mukta Mukhmet Torah is also valid. The Chora, I don't understand why it's a kash on Rashi, but when I said this is something that the Achronim wonder about, why did Rashi have to mix two different things together? Seemingly, they don't go together. Okay. Now, the Gemara continues in terms of our Inyan. Says the Gemara, Amar HaPapa. HaPapa says, I'm going to qualify this principle. This principle of Emukta Mukhmet Torah, again, in our Gemara, the discussion is HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu something on one date, and the Torah could put in the Torah something Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu on a later date, and that could be in the Torah earlier, could be written earlier. Rashi puts it, the Parshas Dinemru Tchila, meaning a Parsha is given over to Moshe, Higdimu HaMulcharos La. We're talking about sections of Halacha in Chumash. Hashem said to Moshe, it could be a mitzvah Ladoas, a mitzvah Fashah, but it's a mitzvah. Vaydab Hashem Moshe Lemar Se'u Espos Kodas B'nei Israel. That could be mentioned first, even though it happened in the second month, by Davish and Moshe ben Mibasinai, the Yasub Nesos Apasach ben Moado. And that could be happened first, but it's mentioned later. Says Rav Papa, when do I allow for such a thing that the Torah could put a parsha Shenemar Moshe Tchila later on in Chumash? Lo Amaron Ela B'Trei in Yani. We only say this if it's trei in yani, avo bechad in yana, if it's what inyan, which we have to define, inyan, maidem muktam muktam maidem ucher muucher. How do we translate in yani? Rashi says, trei in yani, b'shtei parshios. The Torah is divided into parshios, not the parshios that we use when we say parshios ha-shavua, we mean to a pei, to a samach, when there's a break in the Sefer Torah, whether a stuma or a psucha, so that's considered to be a separate section, a new paragraph. So it's a new dibur, or a new parsha, so to speak. So if it's trei in yani, then we can say ein mukta muchbat. Torah could put something earlier, even though that dibur was later. However, bechad in yana, Rashi says the mikraos. If you have a series of psukim hasiduros beparsha achas, wait. If you have a series of psukim that are appearing in one parsha, one section, then we're not going to say ein muktam mukhbat Torah. Rather, we're going to assume maidem muktam muktam, what was written in that parsha first was given over first to Moshe. What was written in that parsha second, a second pasuk was given over later. Not that it was the other way around. This is Rav Papa's principle. Go.
Can the patient
back on before, yeah?
Because the other Rashi that was brought up by Rashi didn't give a separate reason, so by
Kibbutz Eger. Okay, so maybe wait. Okay, so I don't know. We'll see. Let me wait. Hopefully by the end of the year we'll get to the Kibbutz Eger's Rashi's, and we'll see if that could bring that in. I think there's a lot, even after we're done today, there's a lot more of loose ends that maybe can be revisited. So I'm not saying this is not the last word. This is the first word, tentative. Yeah, I just gave you, as I see it, the chayra, I don't understand why it's such a kasha and rashi. The kibegas rashis we'll get to eventually. So Rabbi Papa, let's first read up the Gemara with the Tosfos, and then we'll try to broaden the discussion. But Pasha, let's just feel like we did. How much we get to the other part, I don't know, but we're going back to tomorrow. But at least we can know that we finished to the line of Gemara of Bodhisattva Shivato. That we'll get to today. Okay. After that, I don't know how much we'll get to. We'll see. Okay. So the Papa's Raya, that he's distinguishing between Chad and Yana, where there we don't assume in Mukta Muchbatar, only by Trey and Yani. Rashi learns one parsha versus separate parsha. So the Rach has a different reading. We'll get to that hopefully as well. What's the proof of Terah Papa? What is his proof to this? That we assume with Chad and Yana that Naidem Mukta Mukta Maidem Ucha Mucha, what was given over to Moshe first, is what appears first in the Ksivas HaTorah, and what's written later was given later. How do I know that? Says the Gemara, says Rav Papa, the ego temach, if you're not going to say that, then klal uprat. We know there, yud gimel midos chatar nedreshes behen, that we have in the Siddur. This is the Brice of Rabbi Yishmael. That's actually the Hakdama to Torahs Kohanim. If you open up a Sefer Torahs Kohanim, which is called the Sifra, the Midrashi Halacha and Sefer Vayikra. So the very beginning, before you get to the, you know, Parashas Aleph of Nedava, of Olaf Nedava, the beginning of Vayikra, you'll see the Brice of Rabbi Yishmael. That's where it is. That's where it originates. So in that list of Yud Gimel Midos, you have Klal Uprat. It's one of the 13. Prat Uklal. And you have what's called Klal Uprat Uklal. So the Gemara is going to now use the two rules. Two of them are Klal Uprat, Prat Uklal. And the fact that we can justify such a Mida proves that Bechada in Yana, Maidemukta Mukta Maidemucha Meucha. So Gemara uses both of those rules to bring the idea out. What is the rule of Klal Uprat? The rule is Ein Bechal El Mashem Bepat. The Torah will talk about a halacha and first use a general expression, which includes a lot of things, and then specifically mention a few other things which are limited in their definition, what they are. So then the rule is the Torah wants to tell you that is it. It's not the Klal. So I think the Rach brings the example here. The Gemara doesn't make examples. The Rach brings here an example in the beginning of Vayikra where the Torah says, min ha-behema, you bring a carbon min ha-behema, and then it says, min ha-baka min ha-tzon. You don't bring a chaya for a carbon, even though Noach may have done that, but that's not for the Torah after Matan Torah. So what is behema? Even chay b'chal behema, but min ha-baka min ha-tzon. So that's klal uprat. There's another example, I think, Mefarshim on the Rabbi Shmuel's Brisa say, well, silbashat neis. What does it say after that? Tzemel fishtim yachda. So it's not just any mixture of minim, even though shatneis couldn't mean any mixture, tzemel fishtim. The klal prat ein bechal mashe befrat. Just now let's talk about the other rule for a second. What's the other rule? Prat u klal. They're the opposite. They're the Torah saying that we're marbe all things, even though it starts by saying individual things, but the Torah will say a klal afterwards. So it's not klal prat u klal. It's prat u klal. So here as well, here the rule will be the opposite. The Torah wants you to know it's an expansive list. It's lav dafka the pratim. Whatever the pratim are there, it's some kind of a miut. But the halacha includes many other things. Again, here you have a couple of examples. Maybe Hashavas Aveda could be one. The Torah says Salma, Torah says Chamor, Shor Chamor, and then it could say Ko Aveda. So it means that you have to meshiv any Aveda. Other examples, that's called Prat Uklal. That the klal is most of prat, all the things of the klal. So there's klal prat, and there's prat of klal, and then there's another thing called klal prat of klal, which is a whole other idea that we say you need ke'ena prat, but that's a different idea. The Gemara's focus here is on klal prat and prat of klal. So the Gemara says, it must be b'chad en yana, that within that parsha Rashi learns, chad en yana, obviously, ma'idem mukdam mukdam, ma'idem ucha ma'ucha. Why? Because otherwise, dilotemachi klal uprat, that we say about that in bechal el mashe befrat, like the examples we gave, a shatnez or a karbanos, dilma prat uklal. How do you know to view it? What you're looking at in front of you is what? Is klal uprat? Maybe it's the other way around. So therefore, we should say the opposite, that really you could bring a carbon from everything. From anything that's called behema, not just bakavitz. It says in the Chumash, first behema, and then it says after that, menabaka menatzon. Yeah, but since we say muktam mukha batorah, you would say it even b'chad en yana, so maybe what was given to Moshe was the opposite direction. So put it down in a different order than what the Amira was. So how do you know to darshan to say that it means in bechal mashab befrat. Maybe it's patukal. Maybe it's really the other way around in terms of the amira. And so too besu, another furthermore, Papa says, pratu klal, when we say the other way, that first term lists the prat and then the klal, like whatever, Shabbos Aveda, other examples. So we say, nasa klal mosif ala prat, so the klal that's written after it is expansive to tell me it's not just these details, it's many anything that fits the klal. Dilma klal pratu, maybe really we should understand that the Amira was the opposite, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu first the klal, then the prat, and it should be limited. This is the Raya of Rapap Rashi. The Ilotema Hachi, the Besedek Sivasan Nemru, that was set over the way it's written. Ha de Kaimalan, called klal prat, in Bechal Mashab Shehu Befrat. In other words, the prat is coming, saying this is what more narrowly defined, not what you would think when you hear the word that the klal is saying. It's more narrowly defined. How can you be confident to say that that's what it is? Because maybe the amira was not conforming to the seder of the ksiva. And the other way, nasikal mosif ala prat. If you have a prat or klal, to the klal widens the circle. Shelo tomar, what does that mean? Prat or klal, nasikal mosif ala prat. Shelo tomar, inkan ala prat or kayotzivo. All you have is the specific examples mentioned, and that's it. Doesn't go beyond, right? Okay, yotzivo navi bedino bebenyanav, or maybe. Okay, maybe we could also say whatever is similar, so we can use a midah of mamatzino binyanav to learn out, but then that's it. Stops with that, because the Torah says this is what it is, and then binyanav can take you a little further. So by saying the klal after the prat is lahavi kol davar vafiu in a damal prat. That's the pratu klal. So it doesn't have to be damal. Klal pratu klal. Rashi means this because lafuke klal pratu klal. When you have klal then prat then klal, then the way it ends up is that everything that's kein haprat is included, right? But by pratu klal, it's not only keina prat. It's even not what's not keina prat. But how do you know? Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it becomes a klal prat and ein bechal mashe befrat. Now there's something here we have to understand. I think hopefully you thought about this. L'chaira, a simple question, pshat l'gemara. I mean, there's something we can glean in a yisod from this gemara, because the gemara is using the fact that we have a drasha from the way the Torah writes something, the way it's written, be it klal prat, be it pratu klal, that it must be that we don't say in mukta mukha ba Torah by chadinyana, meaning to say that it must be that Moshe Rabbeinu received these words in the order that they appear in Chumash. Why? Because if I would assume otherwise, that in mukta mukha ba Torah, that means that Moshe could have received these words in the different order, in reverse order, then I'd have no justification in dashening according to what it's written. So I have a question. Why not? This is dashening the text of the Torah. The Amira is not relevant. The Amira could have been the other way. But the methodology of Yud Gimel Midos, good, no, good question. That's your question. Good. Good question. No, Chaira, the methodology of Yud Gimel Midos is a function of what? Of Ksiva Sator. So what's Rav Papa's Hechrach? That it must be that the whole Yisod in Mukta Mukha Batorah is not applicable the Chadin Yana. Because here we assume that the Amira was exactly what the Ksiva is. And that's why I can make a drasha Kal Prat, Pratu Kal, because otherwise maybe it's the other way. No, what do you mean it's the other way? What drives the drasha is the Ksiva, not the Amira. How many people had this kasha? It's a kabbalah kasha, no? Yeah, no, okay, it hurts.
No,
you hear the problem.
I hear the problem. Okay. Add to the kasha.
Add to the problem, yeah.
Isn't the kasha that when we say Seder to the Torah, that we're referring to, I don't know, at least the first time I read it, that we're referring to more of the Sipurim.
Oh, we're not talking Sipurim. I'm looking at the Rashi. I'm reading a Rashi. Seder Amir Ruki Rashi. We just read a Rashi. The ego temaki, the beseda ksivasan neemru. What's the issue in our Gemara? It's important to see what is the context of our sugi they move to Mukhba Torah. When you have Dibure Torah that appear in Ksiva, but obviously Hashem said those things to Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's Dinim. It's parishes of Torah.
But we don't, my point that I was trying to make is that we don't care necessarily, that we represent. We don't care about the dinim as being the seder because we're darshaning out what's written.
That's Akasha. That's what we're asking. That's what we're asking. Chai, yeah.
I don't know why we're necessarily assuming that the only darshan is based on the seder. It could be that when Hashem dictated
Moshe. So you want to answer? Good. You're trying to bring out yourself. So you can formulate the yourself, I think, in a few different ways, but let's go with the way you're saying it. In other words, the drasha kal pratu kal is not purely a function of the ksiva Torah. It's what went into the amira of Moshe Rabbeinu. It becomes one and the same. That if we understand that chreis din abehemah ben bakim da'atzon means only bak of its own, but if that was what Moshe Rabbeinu was getting from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, the drasha that comes from the words, that's a function of the Torah Shebal Peh of the amira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu received Torah Shebichsav with Torah Shebal Peh, and the midos that turn into dreshes behen are going to yield the maskanas tarsha bapet. Whether the midos themselves were no dala Moshe is a big discussion, and a lot of different svarim exactly what it means. Yidgimu midos, is that also what Moshe Rabbeinu had, the tools, and Moshe just had the maskanas of tarsha bapet, but not the midos? That's a whole Indian by itself. But one thing is clear: whatever tarsha bapet is going to yield with the yidgimu midos, that became the Havana of the Amira Moshe Rabbeinu that he received from HaKadosh Baruch when he got the words. So, if the Klal Prat is based on the words, then that had to be what the Amira was as well. Pashtus, we'd say this, maybe that was Moshe Rabbeinu's Havana of the words. Let's make it simpler. Moshe Rabbeinu had the Midas Shetor Nidreshes Behen. So it has to be one and the same. So it must be that what we have in the text is the Dibur, the order of the Dibur as well. It's Hainu Hach. It's not just that we isolate the Ksav and we now dash in the text for itself. That goes into the Mesiras HaTorah HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe. I found in Kovitz Shirim, Rabbi Chana has a small piece, he asked the Kasha, and he says more or less what we're saying now. It's an Os Chaf Hei. He says, the Kasha, my raya mizah shem amidas kal prat, nitna li darash, lefi seder she nichtav, bo kifi she nemer le Moshe, al kifi she nitzav lichtav. At the end of the day, he was told, write it this way. Maybe the drasha follows the ksiva. The Tzarech Loma, he says, the kol mitzvah mitosh bechsav, nitna yachad im ko ashayach lo mitosh bal peh. So the mitzvah was given over with all that the Torah Shebal Peh brings out of those words. I'm not sure if he means that Moshe Ben knew the actual methodology of Klal Prat, or he knew whatever is going to ultimately emerge from it. The stomach means that Moshe Ben had the tools as well. But either way, it has to add up to the same thing. It's not, you can't separate the text from the Amira. And therefore, it must prove that the Amira was consistent with the order in the Ksiva. This is what comes out of this Gemara. That's the right. Now, it could be, when we read on the Gemara, the Gemara is going to ask, Kasha, Ihachi, what? Then even betraying Yaninami, the Gemara's Kasha is going to add in a second. It could be what the Gemara is driving at is, but then Rapapa, then it, Your hechrach is no longer raya because the same logic could be by train yani. Gemara thinks right now that klal prat can even be dashed betraying yani. So what's the Gemara's kasha? But did my papa have a raya? So then doesn't that mean that we throw away the whole way mukta mukha batorah? You know, the Gemara's next line. The Gemara says, Ihachi, I feel train yani nami. So what's the maksha thinking? So between Yani Nami, and we know between Yani there is a Mukta Mukha Batorah. Right? Because probably you can see that. But between Yani, the Gemara thinks right now that we dash and also call Prat Pratu Kral. So what does that mean? What's the Maksha thinking? The Maksha thinking the kasha of the Kovitz Shiur. In other words, so Elam, Myra, Papa, your Raya is not a Raya. The Ilotemach is not a Raya. Because if you go with your logic, it'll be the same thing by Shtei Parshios, Shtei Inyani. And obviously there we established Emuk the Mulcha Batorah. So obviously the Kal Prat rule, Pratu Kalu, is a function of the Ksiva, not a function of the Amir. So obviously the Kasha is not, you know, off base in the sense that the Maksh and the Gemara was obviously would have to entertain such a possibility. The Gemara defends Rav Papa, and the Gemara says, no, that's different. It's Meruchakin, or because we don't dash in Kal Prat in Trein Yani. But really, you see that part of the Shaka Vitar of the Gemara would be in this very question. Does Kal Prat, Pratu Kal as a drasha, is it guided by the Ksiva, even if the Amira was the opposite in reverse order, but the Ksiva is what dictates the drashas, because he was nistava lichtov a certain way? Or do we say that the Ksiva, a certain way, has to, for the drasha to be justified, it has to also be consistent with the Amira to Moshe Rabbeinu? It seems to be what's underlying the Shaga V'Tari in the Gemara. I forgot if someone had a question yet so far. No? It's good, it's clear. So that, look, could you say in a little different formulation, perhaps? B'chon says it his way. I think the bottom line has to be that the Gemara cannot entertain, at least for the Maksha maybe yes, but the Gemara is saying ultimately that the drushes of Kal Prat, the Prat of Kal, have to somehow go back, not just to the way that the words are in the text, even though Moshe was nistava to write a certain way, but it has to ultimately trace itself back to the way that Hashem said it to Moshe. And therefore, in Trein Yani, says Rav Papa, so there, we don't know the order which Hashem said to Moshe. The Ksiva doesn't have to reflect the order of the Amira. But in Chadon Yana, that's the assumption. My demuk, demuk, my demucha, meucha. Fakti Gemara, the eagle, fakti Gemara, hachi, I feel Trein Yani nami. So then why you say by Trein Yani, what that in muk, demucha, you should say that it has to follow the chronology and has to follow the order of the way it appears, because otherwise, how could he justify Kal Prat Pratu Kal? Says the Gemara, well, we don't know necessarily that we dash in Kal Prat like that. Ha nicha lemanda amar Kal Prat hamruchakin zemizeh ain't done no so be Kal Prat Shapir. So this is a sugyas haGemara in various places. Rashi sends us to Menachis and to Bava Kama. Tosis in those places sends us to Nida. These are in Yom, we're not going to go into the whole. Each sugya is its own sugya. Rashi just says, "Hanicha de lo kasha lan lemanda makal pad muchak zemize ain don epukti ibim anachus perikol anachus bos." That's matzah. That's a sugya gabei menachus. Ubi baba kam about chovel. That the Rach quotes first. That has to do with inyan of tsar shelo b'makom nezek. If someone is mazik someone on the fingernail, there's no loss in terms of the being devalued, but there's just tsar by itself. So again, it has to do with that inyan, without getting into all the details, it has to do with the longer Lashonos of the Pesukim. It says Kviya Tachas Kviya, which is a burn, Pesa Tachas Patsa, which is a wound, Chabur Tachas Chabur, which is a bruise. So it's called Meruchakin because there's something in between, Pesa Tachas Patsa, and we have this Shaila, whether we can darshan Klau Prat or not. So Gemara says, if you hold like those who say that we don't darshan if they're Meruchakin, so then everything is good. So then the Papa's Vary still is good because Kal Prat is only said when it's not Meruchakin. And that's the Raya that we have to follow. The way that it's written is obviously that it was said and we don't say Mukta Mu'ucha. Elo, but there's another Shita. Mandam Donim, that we even say Kal Prat even if they're Meruchakin. Maiko Mema. So Gemara says, but even so, Afilo Mandam Donim, but nevertheless, Hani Mili Bechadin Yana, Betrayin Yani ain't done. So the Gemara's maskana is that even if it's meruchakin, but meruchakin can be meruchakin in one inyan, but it's meruchakin in a different inyan, different parsha. Parsha pshat is the same in yani, train yani of before. Parsha pshat, we actually learned before, train yani means two parshas. So the Gemara will be saying that if it's a klal in one parsha and a prat in another parsha, or vice versa, a prat, klal, klal, prat, then we won't go with the klal, prat rule in a chanami, we won't, and therefore there's no problem. There's no raya that we have to follow the chronology, the order in which it's written, because we don't have a drasha of Kal Prat. And when we do have Kal Prat with one in Yana, so within, if it's not Meruchakin, then for sure we dash in Kal Prat. If it's Meruchakin, it's Machlokes, then it's all within one in Yana. So two in Yana, two parshas, then we don't dash in Kal Prat, and then we're free to say, Ein Mukta Mu'ucha Batorah. Yeah, that's the sugya. Yes, yeah.
Besides what postal says, which is an exception, what would be an example of a call of cross in different parts of your
set? So, okay, so we know the Tosis, okay, that Tosis is going to defend. Yeah, so if the Torah mentions, I don't know offhand, I can't tell you offhand, the stomach, there could be examples. Yeah, I don't know, remember, it's hard to think offhand. But the Torah sometimes will have mitzvahs that appear in different places in Chumash, the same yanim, like, you know, there's a lot of things like that in Devarim, for sure. You have a mitzvah that appears in an earlier sefer of Torah, and then in Devarim you have Shemitah, for example, you have it in Mishpatim, you have it in Bahar, you have it in a little bit about Shemitah's Ksafim, you have it in Devarim. So there are examples that you can find, you know, Devarim, for sure, there's a lot of repeat of mitzvahs. So you can imagine it could be a Klal and a Prat. Shams HaVeda, for example, you have in Mishpatim, you have it in Kiseitze. Yeah.
Devar mentions the idea of Chadin and Chakin, but I thought Rashi earlier when he says Chadin Yon as one parsha.
Yes, some Ruchakin can be within one parsha. There's a hefsek between them, like the case of what I mentioned from Kviyah Tachas Kviyah that the Rach mentions in Bava Kama. So you have the phrase Petza Tachas Patsa that's separating Kviyah Tachas Kviyah and Chabur Tachas Chabura. The question has to do with Kviyah, whether the burning has to also be accompanied by a bruise, and that again negated in your Tzar Shalom Makom Nezek. But the fact that there's something in between, so can we darshan Kal Prat or not? Tosis has a couple of points that get brought in, and then we'll try to maybe expand the larger inyan. Okay, Tosis says, Ava b'chad ben yana, nai de mukdam mukdam. So this is Rav Papa's limitation, that only by train yani do we say mukdam mukdam b'torah. But b'chad ben yana, nai de mukdam mukdam. The Tosis says, hainu dafka, hecha deleka drasha v'tan. The Tosis is going further than the Gemara, further than Rav Papa. Now, as Rav Papa seems to say, clear definition, that Chadin Yana, then we have to go by the Seder of Ksiva, and we assume that the Seder of Ksiva is what was the Amira. My demuk, demuk, my mucha, mucha. We don't start thinking maybe Hashem said to Moshe in a different order. So it says, not so simple. All of this is true, hecha deleka drasha betam. If you don't have any preponderance of evidence, you could say, drasha betam, indications from the text itself, from other psukim, from other hechrechim, that could show you that the amira was in fact different than the way the ksiva. Tosis was trying to say, however, but if there's going to be a drasha b'tam, then I can even find situations of chadin yana, meaning for Rashi it's mechada parsha, where in a chanami the seder ksiva is not the seder amira, and it's what's Tosis' example? Tosis is one example, and the Rabbeinu Peretz and the Ran have another example. What's Tosis' example? The Tanan Perek Nigmar Hadin. The Trias Haniskal Kodem Wiskilasa. The din is, there's a mitzvah Haniskalin. There's people Mechuyavi Misa Skila, and there's a Seder of Skila, how it's done by Beis Din. So the din is that you have to, besides for the halacha of dechias haniska, this skila, but there's also throwing him down. So there's first the dechias haniska, he gets elevated to a certain point on a platform, however the many tachim, and then he gets thrown down, and then there's a skila. So first comes dechias haniska, and then the skila. But the pasuk that the Gemara works off is the pasuk by Mamet HaSinai. It says l'siga b'yad, not talking about a formal. Maybe it is, not really, not so much the formal niskal, and it's a situation over there that a person goes over the boundary, kisako yisakel yaro yara. So it says yaro yara means what? With yaro yara? They hurl down, like in Shiras Hayam this week's parsha, right? Yara vayam. So sako yisako is written first. And yaro yara is written afterwards. Yaro yara is a way to show that niskal and have to have first being shoved down. I forgot the skiga exhibition. This is kisaka yisaka yara yara. So how can we darshan, how do we say that the dechia comes before the skiga, before the skalta mosim ba'avanim, there's going to first be the throwing down. But if it's chadin yana, it's one inyan, it's one parasha, shouldn't you have to assume that first was saka yisaka, then yara yara? The Tosu says, the answer must be what I started with. If there's a drasha of the time, then I can even take the words and reverse them and say that the Amira was right the other way, and that's how it should be done, even though it's written this way. Elsewhere, it's written, Vamesu right after Skalta, which sounds like the last thing that's done before Omesu is the Skila. So that other pasuk is going to now shed light and dictate and force us to understand that Sakoy Sakoy Al Yara, really, it's the other way around. And again, the way we're learning it means it must be that the Amira to Moshe was that first Yara Yara and then Sakoy Sakoy. So Tosis is therefore allowing us to expand a Mukta Mukhba Torah even to the realm of Chad and Yana. But only when there's a Tan Midrash. So now, according to Tosis, what therefore would differentiate Chad and Yana, Trein Yani? In other words, if there's no Tan Midrash. So therefore what? If there's no Tan Midrash, then by Trein Yani, so what do I say? I have no reason to go. In other words, basically, I know to assume it's chronological. Just because it's written, one thing is written first, another thing is written second, but could be the Amir Tamosha was different than the way it was written in the Torah. I mechatesi, okay, but you never know. You don't have any default assumption about the Seder Haksiva that the Torah followed chronology. The Amira to Moshe could have been on a mitzvah that's written later in the Chumash. That's by Trein Yani. By Chadin Yana, if I don't have any indication, any proof text, any Talmud Rasha, then I say, my demuk demuk, my demucha meucha. This is what Torah is. There's another example, a second, that the Rabbeinu Peretz and the Ran also bring this, mention it in the connection to the Tosfos. They mention this is, it's good Yedia, the Seder Avodas Yom HaKippurim. So we know, where is this found in Chumash? A parasha? Achrimos, right? So you have the Torah describing all the different avodos of the Kohen Gadol, the avodos of Yom Kippurim, and intermingled with that is the avodos of every day. And we know that he had to do tevila between times that he wore Big Day Zav and Big Day Lavan. He had to do Kiddush Dei Raglayim twice every time he was switching the Gadim. So there's one pasuk that's in the middle of that parsha. Again, if you have your chumashim, I can reference it. One pasuk that the Gemara interprets is out of chronological order in the Seder of the parsha. Does anyone know what pasuk I'm referring to? What was the fourth tevilah, Rabbi Osei? What was the fourth tevilah? Anyone know? It's been a few months since Yom Kippur, but what was the fourth tevilah? What do you do the fourth tevilah in Big Day Lavan? Second tevilah, Big Day Lavan, was with many of the avodas hayom that he did, the Ketores of Naibu Lefnim, going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim three times in the second tevilah, that was for Ketores of Ketores of Kodesh HaKadosh, of Yom Kippur. It was for the Hazav, the Dam, Hapar, his power, and also for the Dam HaSayer, Sar Lashem. But then he had another time in Big Day Lavan for Kodesh HaKadoshim. What was that for? Anyone know? What do you have to go in for, yeah? To take out... No, take out the Kalim, the Kafu Machta that he left when he went for the Torah in the second Tevila. So where do we know that from? So the Pasuk says in Nachrimos there, Uva Aaron Elohim Moed, Pasuk Chav Gimel, Tezayin Chav Gimel. Uva Aaron Elohim Moed, the Pasuk has Big Day Havad, Asher Lavash Bo HaKol V'Nicham Sham. So it sounds like the Torah just described here how he sent the Sar Lazazel out, the previous pasuk, right? Now it says he goes to Ol Moed, and he takes off the Big Day Lavan, and he leaves him there, and that's it. And there's nothing more to do with Big Day Lavan. And it continues afterwards to talk about the Karbanos he did at Big Day Zav, the Ola Soba Lasa Am, right? But wait a second, but the way Chazal interpret for Torah Shabbat Peh, after he did those avodos that follow in the pasuk after Uba Aaron, is that's when he went in to Ol Moed for another time to take out the Kafu Machta. But the Torah makes it sound like he went to Ol Moed, the Pashas Big Abad, and then the Rachat says Besara, and he did other things. But no, this is a pasuk of going in another time. So look at the Rashi in that pasuk. Rashi already says, Amar Rabbi Seinu, Ein ze mekomo shem mikra ze. And they explain in Mesech de Yuma, Kola Parsh Kula Nemra ala Seder, Chutz mi biyazu, this Uva Aaron, this entry into Kodesh HaKadoshim, Shehi achar asiyas olasa ba olasa am, Daktaras Imuri Pabis Sayer Shinasan Bigdizav. So that's mentioned in a later pasuk, but this pasuk is here earlier. So what is the pshat? Uvo Aaron. After that, then Uvo Aaron, even though it's written earlier, he went to take out the kafel machta that he had left there before. So this is what the Ran and Rabbeinu Peretz both point out as another example of what Tosus is saying here, that even though it's chad and yana, you can also see in halacha that there's a pasuk that's written in a place that's out of order, because obviously Moshe Rabbeinu must have received Makadosh Baruch Hu that this pasuk, what's described here, happened later. So the Lashon Rabbeinu Peretz, he says, I don't see Ben Peretz. I thought it was Ben Peretz. For sure in the Ran. I thought it was maybe it's Tosfos Shanz. You could take a look. In the Ran, read it from the Ran. The Ran says it. For sure the Ran said it. Yeah. Uperk amalam amamuna am yamina uva arna upesach al moed. It's uva el ola moed. It says by us. Kor pasha kula nema la seda chutz mi pasik zeh. Lufi shi yesh ledavar holchach ki di isa hasa. Okay, so what's the holchacha? In the case of Tosis, the Ochach is the Pasuk Uskaltem Vamesu. What's the Ochach here? No, anybody? What's the Ochach? Because there's a Ochach Moshmi Sinai, there was a Kabbalah that we had that the Kohen Gadol had to have 5 tefillos and 10 kiddushin. And if you're not going to allow for another, you know, for this to be a fourth tefillah, you're going to follow the order it's written, then you're not going to come up with the 5 tefillos and the 8 kiddushin. You have to allow him to switch from his own clothing to Big Day Zav, then to Big Day Lavan, then back to Big Day Zav, back to Big Day Lavan, back to Big Day Zav, and then his own clothing again. And then you get 10 Kiddusha Derem Raglaim and 5 Tevilos. So the only way you're going to end up with that number is if you put this Pasuk in a different place after what's written afterwards. Because now he's going with Big Day Abad, means you have to change from the Big Day Zav back to Big Day Lavan, and then back to Big Day Zav, and then you work it out. So that's considered to be a Hechrach of the drasha v'tam. So again, even though it's written here, but obviously the kavana was to put it later, and therefore that was how Moshe Rabbeinu received it. And the ksiva doesn't conform to the amira, it's chad and yana, but it's considered like it's muchach. We have a hechrach to know that it's out of order. Yaakov, yeah.
Is it the whole concept of, as far as my understanding, halacha Moshe Mitzinai, is that there's no allusion in the text to it?
Yeah, but they can dictate how to interpret a pasuk. Yeah, but no, Hamash Misina, it could be a lot of things. Ritzuos have to be black. That's just what it is, you know, whatever. But here, we have a Kabbalah that there were 5 tevilos. Okay, so that forces us to change the order of the pasuk and put it somewhere else, because otherwise we won't be able to justify the tradition that we have of 5 tevilos. So that's Mr. what he means. That's the Hochach over there. Noach and Elior, yeah.
I'm a little confused. Why is it that we want to have to say that the Amira and the Ksiva are different? I understand that the order must be different, but Bechorah, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to write it this way.
That's exactly, but that's the point. Hashem told Moshe to write it, but Hashem also taught it to Moshe Rabbeinu.
So the Amira, we don't mean necessarily the way that Hashem expressed it, and then Moshe Rabbeinu decided to switch it.
No, Moshe didn't say, no. Hashem dictates to Moshe exactly what to write and how to write it. But there was the Amira in terms of teaching Moshe Rabbeinu these halachas, this parsha of halacha. And when Hashem did that, Hashem explained it, told it to Moshe the way that we know it should follow in halacha, according to halacha. And in terms of the Gemara here, you know, Hashem spoke to Moshe, right, first on Anachadisan and then Anachadiyah. Or if it's within one parsha, we assume, right, but there it's Maidu Muktam Muktam. It's one parsha, typically, we assume Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu this inyan in the way that it's written. But if we have some hechrach otherwise, and we assume that the Amira was not the way that Hashem told Moshe to write it. Hashem told Moshe to write eventually how it appears in the text. Correct. But there's Hashem telling Moshe how to write it and dictating the words, as the Ramban writes in Hagdamat HaChumash. Hashem dictated the words to Moshe, you know, word for word. So that's the Seder Ksiva. But there's also Hashem teaching Moshe the content of that which he told him to write. So the way that Hashem conveyed the words of the parsha, the tochen of the parsha, the substance of the halacha, that was following, not necessarily the ksiva.
We can understand that the reason is maybe because Seder's Petara, but is there necessarily a reason for why Hashem would have changed.
Yeah, yeah. So then we'll get to all that soon. Just one visual mitosis, then we'll try to talk in broader strokes. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, it might be similar to another thing at the end, but I was gonna ask why you said the original Rashi that we were looking at why
Yeah, that's what Enoch is saying as well. Right, you have to know. There's no question. To me, it's pashut. Like just like the Rashi we started with. Okay, so Lamaisa, why did the Torah say Va'arno Mo Moed in the middle where it's misleading and it's not really when it happened? So in Mukhtemuchah Torah, we can even accept it. B'chadin Yonah if we have a hechrach. But does that mean that we have no explanation? We shouldn't try to figure out why the Torah put it where it is? It's not mutually exclusive. We could have a hechrach. We could say even mechad and yana, but there still could be a reason. I think that's endless. You have to say something. The sectosis. Yeah. Avo betray and yani. Now comes the other set, half of Rav Papa. That when it comes to trey and yani, so he said. Ain't, then we say. So the Gemara goes on. It says what about kral patu kral? Kral prat patu kral rather. So the Gemara says even if we darshin by miruchakin, but only miruchakin by chada and yana. But not if it's trey and yani. So if it's two parshios, as Rashi understands trey and yani, then ain donin. So what comes out seen with Ms. Gemara is that even those who dash and call prat patu call, if they're separated, but only within one parsha. But in two parshios, we don't have call prat patu call drushes. Even lamandamar that hidash is muchakim zamizeh. The hard parich, the sofa parah. The Gemara has a kasha at the end of that parak in Bava Kama, parak Hamishi of Bava Kama, Shosh Nachas Hapara. The Ema, Behemtacha, the Dibos Rishonos, Klau. Shor Bachamor Prat, we'll see exactly the gears in the Gemara in a second. Tosis says, Shor Bachamor Prat, Behemtacha, the Dibos Achronos, Chazabakola. I afav the meruchakin tuva, meaning it's mamish stay parashiyot stay in yani. What is the context of that inyan, of that part in the pun of that topic? Yeah, so the Mishnah there says that echad shor vechad kol behema. The din is that it doesn't have to be just a shor; it could be other animals for a lot of different areas of halacha. And if you have a boar, the nafal shama shor hamor, it could be any animal. Hafrashas har Sinai, that's in Parshas Yisro. In behema im ish, so even chayva of also the tashkume kefel Shabbos aveda, and then it says l'shabbos. That means we know that there's a din of shvisas behema. So it's lab dafka sure it could be any animal, any chayv. So the Gemara goes through each one and tries to show how I know it's lab dafka sure. So in the discussion of Shabbos, the Gemara has this kasha that Tosfos is referring to. The Gemara says that you have l'sasach ha'malacha. Let's take a look. Actually, it's easier if we have the chumash in front of us. What's the lashon pasuk by Yaseres Adibos in Yisro? In a week from now, so we'll see it again. So in Yisro, the lashon l'sasach ha'malacha ata uvin chavitacha avadcha v'amasa uvehemtacha. So the lashon is behemtacha. Doesn't say specifically what animal. Behemtacha. Now, if you look in Veschanan, Neseres Adibros, what's the lashon there by the Dibur of Shabbos? No, someone have it? What does it say over there? Osasa chamalacha, atabincha, v'atcha, mesecha, v'sharcha, v'chamorcha, v'chol behemtacha. Okay, interesting. So you have here just behemtacha, and here it says, sharcha, v'chamorcha, v'chol behemtacha. So the Gemara asks, Ema, Behema, the Dibros HaRishonos Klal, right? All it says in Yisro is Behemtecha, or Behemtecha. Continues the Gemara, Sharcha Bachamorcha, the Dibros Achronos Prat. The Gemara right now focuses just on the Sharcha Bachamorcha in Kveschana, and in Klal Prat, in Bechal Mashi Befrat. Shor Bachamor in Midiach Rinigo. So that's how the Gemara originally asked. So it's a klal prat. So only shor v'chamor. The Gemara answers, "Ami v'chol behemtecha de dibro sachronos chaza v'kala." Oh no! But look at the Argin Veschan. It says right after that, "V'chol behemtecha." So klal prat to klal, we have done okay in a prat. So therefore, all balichayim. But meanwhile, the Gemara is originally asking, it's Klal Prat from Parshas Yisro to Parshas Veshanan in Bechal Masha Befrat. The Gemara answers, no, but I have Chos of the Kolah. But this is totally separate in Yana. One is in Yisro in Aseres HaDibros. One is in Veshanan in Aseres HaDibros. So in the Gir of Tosis here, Be'ema Be'emtach HaDibros Rishon is Klal, Shor Hamor Prat, really, it should say Shabbat Hamor of Dibros Achronos Prat, and the whole Bentecha is what the Gemara says Chas of the Kolal. But okay, but it's really two steps in the Gemara. That's the Kash and the Teretz. Tosus paraphrases, but doesn't tell totally you what is in the Gemara. Chas of the Kolal. That's the Teretz. So it's really the Kash is really twofold. It starts off Klal Prat that I'm Ruchak and then Chas of the Kolal. But either way, we're taking from one and we're continuing it with the other. Trey and Yanni. So how do you know it's Klal Prat? I know it's Klal Prat and Klal. Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it's Prat and Klal. Avin Mechak and Tuva. It's Emuk the Mulcha Batorah. Tosis gives the Teretz. Hainu Mishum De Aseres HaDibros Chashidi Ki Chadin Yana. Aseres HaDibros in Yisrov Eschan is considered Chadin Yana the B'dibur Echad Nemru. That those extra words don't appear in the other places in Tosis Shans and Tosis Harash. Interesting, Tosis had to add that. The Gears say here, Dibur Echad Nemru. You could say it's considered Chadin Yana. It's like one parsha, Aseres HaDibros, even though Tosis says better. But Dibur Echad Nemru means what? Shomer V'Zachar. Tosis makes it everything. Everything that's what? It's all B'Dibur Echad. Right? Everything, all the Shinuyim were B'Dibur Echad. So that makes it Mamish Atayinu Hach. So it's Chadin Yana. It's Chadin Yana. It's one thing. It's one parsha. It's one parsha. We're set together. Are you?
Yeah, it has to be that. Because, I mean, you can't argue that's any more of the same Indian than, you know, the same pasuk with one thing in between. It has to be something more than that, wouldn't it? More than just the same topic.
So here's the thing, interesting. So the mice said this. We've been learning Pshat, Trey and Yani, Chad and Yana, like Rashi. Rashi sets that for us right away. Trey and Yani, Chad and Yana is one parsha, Trey and Yani, Shtei parshas. If you notice in the Ben Chananiel, he doesn't learn that way. Ben Chananiel says, take a look at the Rinnah Hananel. Hani mili betrayin yani, kigon, hai the midbar sinai bechad achodesh hasheni, and kasa betchilat sasefer, shu inyin, su esmosh koadas bnei Israel. That's the minion of the Pikudim. The zeb midbar sinai bashan hashenis, shu bachodesh harishon, a kasa achre, hamaparshios, bu inyin hapesach. What does it sound from Bidu Hananel? Is Trey and Yanni two parshios? Or two and Yanni means two topics? Two topics. For Bidu Hananel, it doesn't have to do with parshios. It has to do with the nosei, the subject matter. So Lemaisa, if you go Bidu Hananel, then Tosis Kasha doesn't get off the ground.
Yeah.
Then for sure, you don't have to say anything. Of course, it's in your nechad. But Tosis Lechor didn't learn that way. Tosis had this Kasha from the Aseres HaDibros. Sounds like one topic is not enough. So he says, Chashiva Kichad and Yana. But now he adds the Dibur Echad Nemru. I notice the Tosfos Rashi doesn't add those words. You're saying a chur, you have to say it. Otherwise, what is he saying? What does he mean? Chashiva Kichad and Yana. It could be Tosfos means that it's ki'ilu, even though it's technically two parshios, but sometimes something is so tightly, it's mamish so tightly connected that even if it's two parshios, it's gufo Kichad and Yana. Seres HaDibros. You can't do it stam, you know, you can't do it stam as if it's a similar topic here. It's mamish, Aseres HaDibros. Well, the master of the words in our Tosfos Dibur Echad Nemru makes it even more like it's mamish, it was set together. I noticed the Beit Tosfos doesn't add those words. Sounds like you don't have to necessarily answer it with adding the Dibur Echad Nemru. This is what you have in Tosfos. Okay, so now let's talk in a broader sense about this whole Inyan, because again, we have the sugya for itself here, but we have this expression used all over the place. And obviously there's a relationship, there's a connection in terms of the Inyan. Obviously the Torah doesn't always follow chronology, and it's going to be true in a lot of areas, not just formally in terms of the halachas and the parashas of the Torah, but even Sipuria Torah and so on. Yes?
Are you assuming that Rashi would agree with those?
I think so. I mean, why not? Why not answer? Like, I mean, it works. I mean, it's a teretz to Akasha. So why shouldn't Rashi agree? Rashi could agree. Let's start as follows. I found an interesting thing. Rabbeinu Peretz ask a simple question. Why does it turn out foul chronology? It just makes like a scuffle issue. Like, can you explain to me why? Usually you expect things in a text that you that's sacred. You know, you expect the Torah to follow chronology. Why shouldn't the Torah write things in order that they were given over to Moshe, that they happened? See, it's an interesting a medrash he quotes. He quotes the medrash. I looked into the medrash a little bit. I'll read you the larger, you know, source as well. But I'll read you first a bit in Peretz. Let's see how he puts it. He quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, and then he goes beyond that. So in Avinu Peretz over here, let's can find it. Also, meres in mukta mucha b'Torah. So v'hatam, why mukta mucha b'Torah? Again, the Gemara gives the kralim trein yani. Why? Why doesn't Torah follow in order? Hatam have the isa b'mevish. They say tell you tanchuma truma. Why would it be in parashas truma? Anyone know? Anyone can give a guess? Venture a guess? Why would it be in parashas truma? What could be a connection there? Think of an example of a mukta mucha b'Torah that connects to parashas truma. The Tzivay HaMishkan, go ahead. What do you mean? When was the Torah? Big Machokes Vashir Ramban in Parashanut HaMikra, when the Torah, when Hashem gave the Tzivay of Melechas HaMishkan, Truma, Tetzave, and Kisisa Tosheni. Right? If you go from Truma, right after Mishpatim, Mishpatim ends with Moshe Beno sends to Har Sinai for the 40 days. Vahim Moshe Bahar, Abam Yavam Laila. That's the end of Mishpatim. The next Parashah, Vadab Hashem Moshe Leimor, and then you have from there all the details of the Mishkan and Parshas Truma, Big De Kahuna, and Parshas Tetzaveh, and then a little bit more in the beginning of Kisisa, Machzis HaShekel, the Kior, and so on, and then more about the, you know, Bezalel, who's going to make the Mishkan, and that takes us to Sheni in Kisisa. What happens in Sheni? What happens in the next Pasuk in Kisisa? Shabbos vayinafash, b'shem neisos haShabbos, until that, vayiten al Moshe, Hashem is giving Moshe the luchos. This is like picking up from what? When vayim Moshe b'har, b'rim b'am layla, Hashem is Moshe's in the mountain, Hashem is giving Moshe the luchos, and then this seder ha'egel, my sa'egel. So this whole section, Truma, Tetzave, and the first aliyah of Kisisa, was that given to Moshe during the 40 days, the way it is in Chumash? Or do we say, no, that this tzivoy only originated the last 40 days, in other words, after Chet HaEgel, in which case it's out of order. So if you look, for example, in Rashi, on that pasuk, Vayiten El Moshe, in Kisis, again, if you have your Chumashim, you can take a peek at it. Rashi's first words on those on that pasuk, commenting, Vayiten El Moshe, guess what he says? He quotes Pesachim Davav. Rashi says, he could probably do a search, how many times Rashi says the Lashon, Ein Muktam Mucha B'Torah, in his Pirush and Chumash. Ein Muktam, this is one of them. Ein Muktam Mucha B'Torah, Rashi goes with this mahalach of the medrash, masa egel kodem with tzivoy melechas hamishkan yamim rabim haya, and Rashi goes to cheshbon. So that's why this medrash is in Tanchuma and Parshas Truma. Says Rabbeinu Peretz again, and the Ramban likes to follow the order that in Chanami the original plan is very implications in Hashkafa. Was the Mishkan meant to be part of the plan, even it wouldn't have been a Chet HaEgel? It's just that it got derailed until after the Kapar of Chet HaEgel, then Moshe Rabbeinu was ready to give over the tzibur that he had from the first time he was in the mountain, and then everything was in order in the Chumash. Or according to the Midrashim, and Rashi goes with that, that the whole tzibur only originated after Chet HaEgel, the Torah puts it before. So quotes, Rabbeinu Peretz quotes as follows. V'hatam ha'v'kidisa b'medrash tanchuma t'truma, d'chsiv mishrei hei vav, Ora chayim pentefales na'u magiloseha v'lo seda. I can't translate exactly, but those are the words in the pasuk in Mishlei. Didn't have a chance to exactly. Perush, but here's the medrash. Na'u magiloseha tiltel hakadosh baruch hu. Na'u is to move. Magiloseha, it's what is arranged, the way it makes it move. No magiloseha tiltel hakadosh baruch hu parshios shel Torah. Hashem moved around parshios of Torah. Shelo yehi adam kore parsha kitana v'ose ba kol cheftso ubo re ba kol masi yirtze. Came Pirish Rabbi Yechiel minuchaso kavod. Yechiel mi Paris probably. He's quoting from the Bali Tosfos that there's a medrash that Hashem moved things around. Why? So a person shouldn't read a parsha kitana And do all he wants. What does he mean? What is he saying? Anyone? What is he talking about? So I got curious. What does it mean? So first of all, I went to the Medrash Tanchuma. Doesn't say very much there. In fact, it says less than what's quoted. In Medrash Tanchuma, it says as follows. V'asu migdash v'shachanti b'socham. That's all you have. Nothing, the extra part, that's not in the Medrash Tanchuma, at least the Medrash that I have. But there is a Yalkut Shimoni, apparently, that he's also connecting to this Medrash Tanchuma, and I think the Chavetz Chaim brings this in Shmiras HaLash in one place. In Yalkut Shimoni, Tehillim, Remez, Taf Reish Chaf Hei. It's on the third capital in Tehillim. So it has a few pshatim in this Mizmar with David, Bebaruch B'nei Avshalom B'no. Davar Achem Mizmar with David, Zesh Amar Kasab Lo Yeda Enosh. I think it means. Amar v'lazer, lo nitnu parshios ha-Torah al ha-seder. The Torah did not put its parshios in order. Sh'el mole nasno al ha-seder. Or el mole nitnu al ha-seder. Kol mi shayi kori behen, ha-yayachol ha-chayos nesim, v'lasos mofsim. Interesting. If they would have been written in order, then any person would have the ability to do tchias ha-nesim and to do miracles. That's why the Tzeit Torah was hidden, jumbled. Okay, very fascinating, no? Yes, Jacob. Yes, that's good. Good freestyle. The Ramban says that the Torah, although the Ramban is talking about how the Siddur Ksiva reflects the Hashem Shemos here, you might think it's maybe the opposite, that the Torah Dafka jumbled it, because if it didn't get jumbled, then you'd have more access. So if anything, you're saying a little bit in a different direction. Right. You could be saying another pshad. You're saying that the Torah had to have things in different order because it had to fit the secret meanings that the Ramban is talking about. He's saying maybe a different point, that the order had to be jumbled, because otherwise, if you have access to the original plan of what was, then you'd be able to do all kinds of things that for your own agendas, and we don't want to give that over to anybody. Yeah.
But after learning like the different Tosfos and analyzing the Gemara, it seems like you have a way to figure out the order.
Yeah. But you won't be able to do it all over a Torah. Yeah, here and there we can figure out the things in that. But if the Torah would have been, see, this is a broader issue. This is much more of a broader issue than this, the context of our Gemara. This is one of the Rishonim I found. There's another one of the Rishonim, Tosas Chachmi Angalia. We don't quote him much, but it's on Psachim. And he says something very interesting as well. He quotes the Yerushalmi. We wouldn't have the Yerushalmi. Very often you find Rishonim quote Rav Yoh and others, but Yerushalmis that we don't have. I don't know exactly what to make of that. But he said, Yerushalmi Mefarish Taima. I found in one of the editions they have with the notes on the bottom, they say, we don't have this now, Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi Mefarish Taima, Shelo Yiya Kohen Gas al Shekor Rishon Batorah. I'm a Kohen, so I guess it speaks to me. Any other Kahanim in the room, right? There are a few. No? Okay. A Kohen can feel a little bit haughty that he got first Aliyah. So it's like an equalizer to say, you know, for all you know, someone who got a later Aliyah, his portion was really given first. So he has an aspect of first that even beats you. You're first in terms of the Ksiva, but really in terms of the strange, but as I state, that's what it says over here in Chachmei Angalia. Don't know. That's another Maramak. The truth is, Rabbi Kiv Eger sends us to a few Rashis. Now, what does Rabbi Kiv Eger want exactly? What does he have in mind? He has three Rashis in Chumash. This is it. I mean, I mentioned the Rashi in Parshas Kisisa already about Seder HaMishka. So why does Rabbi Kiv Eger quote three Rashis in Chumash? What does he have in mind? What are the three Rashis? Mestama, you had a chance to look at it. The first Rashi is in Parshas Bereishis. When the Pasuk says about the Dor HaMabul, that Hashem speaks about how terrible the situation is, that people are acting as they will and, you know, as they are, and they have to bring a mabul. So the lashon pasuk yadin ruchi ba'adam amishagam huvasar v'hayu yamav meya ve'eslim shana. What does that mean? It means that there's going to be a window, a deadline of 120 years, which means that we know Noach was 600 at the time of the mabul, and Hashem is giving them that harachas af, that time of patience to wait for them 120 years. But there's a pasuk that appears later that says that Noach had three sons, Shem, Cham, and Yefes. And we know that the oldest son was who? Yefes. And how old was Noach? 100. It was 500 at that time. Mishenoad Yefes Adam Mabu was only in Elamir Shana. Says Rashi, Ein Mukta Mucha Torah, that the Gzeira, I'm sorry, the Pasuk is earlier, I'm sorry, I had a bad word. The Pasuk right before this, or not two Pasukim before this or so. Vahi Noach ben Chamesh Miyos Shana, Vayolad Noach Hashem Chamesh Yefes. So right before this Pasuk, that Hashem says 120 years is the deadline, the Pasuk earlier, and this is a perfect example of how you should never trust the way that you give Kapitlach in Chumash, because it means nothing, really. It means just reference. It's not from us. It's not from Jewish origin. When people speak about Perek and Pasuk and Chumash, it's not from us. It's, I don't know the name of the clergyman who was responsible, but can figure it out, someone. But it was used in debates, in polemical debates, and that's why we ended up adopting it. I find the Chavetz Chaim often when he quotes Psukim in the Svarim, he writes, after Sheni, after Chamishi, after this. I mean, that also doesn't go back to, you know, to be shown. I mean, it's from a few hundred years ago, but at least it's from us. But the Prakim Psukim, I'm not saying, we might say Gedolim Betovim use it and reference it, and that's what become a Kubo. But here you have as follows, Perek Vav. I mean, it often it's very arbitrary, but here Perek Vav is where this Pasuk appears, Bahayu Yamav. And the pasuk of Noach having Shem Chamed Yefes at 500, that's the last pasuk of the previous parak. But it means nothing. It's the same section. So Mikib Eger is quoting a Rashi that puts a pasuk that describes Hashem's dibur that will be 120 years. But obviously that pasuk had to precede the pasuk of Noach having children age 500. Okay, so that's one of Mikib Eger. Okay, what's the other two? The second one is Parshas Vayera. Avraham Avinu is at the Pesach Ohel, and he has the three Anashim that he sees. And this is after Hashem appears to him, Vayera Elo Hashem, after the Bris Milah. And you have this pasuk that says, Vayaratz Likrasam, Pesach Ohel, Vayishtachu Artsa, says he runs out and greets them and prostrates himself. And then the pasuk is Vayomar, and it says, Ado Shem. And that's the question. What is the meaning of that word? Is it, can you erase it in the Sefer Torah or not? Does he mean my master speaking to the most distinguished of the three, the one in the middle? Or does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And what does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Please, I'm going to greet the three wayfarers. Please don't leave me. Doesn't mean please don't go on. I want to greet you and I want to show you hospitality. Hashem, don't leave me, even though I'm going. In fact, Rashi, according to that pshat, that it's Kodesh, but it's written after it says that he ran out. Right? So what's the answer? It says Rashi according to this pshat. Ein mukta mu'ucha b'torah. What's the lashon of Rashi on it? Apish shekosav achav yersi kresim ha'amira kodum achin ha'isa b'derech ha'mikroos l'daber kain. So Rashi sends you back to what we just mentioned, to the first example at the end of Bereishis. And what was Rashi's lashon over there? Ein muktam mucha b'Torah. So Rashi uses the lashon in Bereishis, and Rashi in Vayera references Bereishis. That's the second Rabbi Kiva Eger. What's the third one? In Shnos, Moshe Rabbeinu is leaving Midian to be sent on the mission by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to redeem Klal Yisrael. So he went back after he hurled this by the Snan. He was took on the mission finally, goes back to Yisrael, takes his wife and his children, puts them on the donkey. Vayashav Artzim Mitzrayim, Vayikach Moshe Esmateo Kim Biyado. Pasuk ends, Moshe took the staff. Because Hashem said, "Vesamata zatikach biyadecha shetasabol saosos." Hashem said to take the matter. But what does it say? He says, "Vayashav aretz mitzrayim vayikach Moshe es matay elokim biyado." So it says at the end of the pasuk. It says, "Rashi in muktam ucha midudakim b'mikra." Obviously, he took the matter before he left, not after he came back to Mitzrayim. Okay, very interesting. But what's the Kibbeger after? What does he want? What does he want? What is he bringing these three Rashis? Okay, there was no computer then, right? But he had the Rashis. But like, and what about the Rashi in Kisisa? About the Mishkan? Rashi says the same Lashon. We quote it in Mukta Mucha Batorah, that it was after the Masa Ego that they were established. What does Rashi Kibbeger want with these three Rashis? Yeah.
Isn't that last Rashi a seer to the Rashi that we have that says only partial, so that's Inyanim? Because that one was one pasuk.
So one second. So I think could be as follows. But Kibbeger's point is as follows, that the Gemara ends up saying, where's the Pintel of Kibbeger? On what words of the Gemara? Look at the words. Okay, so that's where he appears. So what? So he found only these three Rashis. But maybe it's really the Hemshach. I mean, their papa said that the rule is limited to trei in yani, b'chad in yani, Rashi says one parsha, then my demukha, demukha, my mucha, ma'ucha. Here you have three examples, all of which Rashi is taking words in the psukim and putting them earlier, even though it's one parsha, it's one inyan. So it doesn't seem to square with Rav Papa. So b'kvega means to ask as a kasha, or to give a teretz, or to allude to a teretz. Okay, so we notice something here that is, right, you couldn't say this by the case of the Mishkan. That's a whole section, many sections. But the section can be transplanted as if it would be after the Chet HaEgel, after Yom Kippur. But here it's within Chada Pasha, Chada Inyana. Okay, so what's the answer? What could be the answer? And whenever, if that, whether or not Kibbeger meant it, I don't know. But if he meant it, if he didn't, we're asking the Kasha. So how does it work with our Gemara? What could be the answer? So we have a solution. Where do we have a solution to this? Tosus. What does Tosus say? That even Chadan Yana, you could say in Mukta Mukhar, if there's a drash of a tan, if there's something that's forcing. So you have to say, look, so if they go through each example, obviously the first example, the numbers don't add up. Obviously, if Hashem is speaking about 120 years from now, then obviously we're talking that Noach is 480. Noach was 500 a few psukim earlier. Okay, obviously, psukim have to be rearranged. In the case of Mateo Kim Biyado, obviously he took the Mata before. In the case of you saying Hashem of Namatsasi, so I have to know. Lemaisa doesn't know turn the pshat. You could say that means my master, meaning to the three, one of the three. Could be that maybe for whatever reason that wasn't appealing as a good pshat. So then we have to be wearing it. It's Kodesh. If it's Kodesh, then obviously it's out of order. Interesting. I'll give you another example. This is not Rashi and Chumash. This is Tosus in Chu and Fadi Hayamidays, but Pshat in the Pasuk in Chumash. There's a Sipur about in Eliezer Ever Avram in Pashas Chayisara, the famous Shidduch, the Shadchan Eliezer. And first, the Torah tells you what happened with how he met Rivka and how he related to finding out, you know, seeing what she did. And then it says that he gave her the jewelry. And then he said, Bas mi'at, and checked out who she is, and she told him, Las Bisuel. When the Torah tells the story over, Eliezer is speaking to the family. So what, a lot of things are interestingly changed in the language, and one of the striking changes is that when he tells the story, he says, Va'eshal osa v'omar basmiyat, and she told me, and then va'osmaneza malafa basmiyat yadeh, then I gave her the jewelry. So the classic answer that we know from Rashi and Chumash, when you learn Chumash, is why did he change the order? Because it's not normal that you right away give the jewelry, you don't even know. So he had to be smart and change a little bit of details. Tosfos in Chulin, Sadi, Heim Beis, is for a different reason why Tosfos says it, but let me just give you the bottom line. Tosfos says that there's an opinion that would hold, Lo nasan mohat smidim ad shi'gida lo bas miyat. That's due to the opinion of Nichlish, not for us right now. Tosu says that it's possible that he did not give her the tzmidim until she, even though the pasuk says, Vayikach eish nezem zav, and then it says, Vayomer bas miyat. Sounds like he first gave her the jewelry, and then he said, Bas miyat, ein mukta mu'ucha batorah. Interesting. Chada Pasha. The Tosfos continues. V'chein muchach kishesiper dechsiv eshalosa bombas miyat. It's proven from the fact that he told over that way, so that must be the way he did it. The Tosfos using the hechrach, you could say the drush of etan, the fact that it's written in a pasuk that he told them that he did it that way, so even though it's written in the pasuk differently. Okay, so one way to think of Rekib Eger and to answer up for Rashi, these various Rashis, is to say that there's a hechrach of some kind. But the emphasis, I want to present it. Rabbi Kibager maybe meant it, maybe didn't mean it. We have to know. The larger issue in Parshanut HaMikra, it's obviously there's a connection between our sugya that establishes a principle in Mukdam Ucha. But the context of our sugya is halachos, a parsha shenemra l'moshe. So it's written, it's positioned in the Chumash in one place, but it could be that what's written in the Chumash later, Moshe Rabbeinu received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu first, a Seder, a Parsha, Halachos. When we talk about Sipuri HaTorah, it may be a different issue. Do we have to be so bound to the Kolam of the Gemara, of Inyan Echad, Trei Inyani? We find a range of approaches among the Farshi HaTorah about how liberal or how steering we should use this rule. The rule is on the books. You see in the Gemara here. The Torah can put the story of the Dibur of the census in the beginning of Bamidbar and only later on mention the Dibur about Pesach Midbar. Okay, so we know that the Torah doesn't have to follow chronology and we could give all kinds of alumnus and hashkafa about why it is. But now, what is your netiya? If anyone who learns Chumash with Mefarshim like Ramban, for example, will notice Ramban very often will comment about something he quotes me, the Rashi Ibn Ezra, that they move something out of order, and Muktam Ucha says, no, I don't like this. And you can mention numerous examples. We don't have time, we can be here for another hour or more. You know, Lech Lecha, when was the tzivah of Lech Lecha given to Avraham Avinu? Some want to say it was still in Or Kasdan before he left with Terach. That's how the Radaka de Benezra learned. Ramban doesn't say that. He already went to Haran. Now Hashem said Lech Lecha. The mice at the end of Mishpatim, the story about Matan Torah, the second narrative of Matan Torah, that talks about building the Mizbechos and the Krisos Bris. According to Rashi, Rashi goes with the opinion that this goes back to day four, day five of Sivan. And the Ramban says, no, this was after Matan Torah, as the Torah has it. Truma Tetzava and began Kisisa. For the Ramban, the Dibur of Mishkan was meant to be very much part of the plan from the beginning. Hashem told Moshe the first time he was at Sinai. The Ramban, numerous, I'll give you more example or two. Parshat Tzav, the mice of Korach, Ibn Ezra says happened earlier. The Ramban says, no, it happened exactly when it is. The timing is exactly what it is. After the Meraglim, Parshat Tzav, in the middle of Tzav, it says, Hashem gives tells Moshe, take Aaron and get him ready for the Miguyim. Rashi says, it's out of order. Ein Mukta Mucha Batorah. No one of the Rashis. Ein Mukta Mucha Batorah. This is on the whole section, not on the within the pasuk. V'loma napoch dibe okim chayim, says the Ramban. Loma napoch. And the Ramban explains that the Diburim from the beginning of Vayikra were all from the beginning of Shemesh Yimei Miluim. And everything is in order. It's not out of order. This is not out of order. This is all, it's all connected. So, what do you make of this? This is a different issue. It's like Parshanut HaMikra is a different issue. Now we know the rule exists from the Gemara. Now, when we want to learn Chumash, Sipuri HaTorah, how quick are we to invoke this principle? Rafi, from before? Eliezer. Tosa see him. So if you want, that's exactly my point. As if you want to be very loyal to the Lashon, to the klal of the sugya, and say chadin yana should normally mean ma'idemukta mukam ma'idemuchem uchar, then we're going to have to always fall back on Tosfos to say that any situation that you want to go out of order within Chadin Yana, whether it's one topic, one parsha, you're going to have to justify it because I have some hechrach for it. Now, all these examples, the hechrach is very, very flimsy. Like in Sipuria Torah, Ibn Ezra, yeah, you know, for the Ramban, it doesn't pass water. There's a simple pshat that works out that you can keep it chronological. So, but Ibn Ezra, Rashi, were, yeah, no. Ein muktam ulcher. So, maybe that's because they're going to say that the threshold is lower for whatever the hechrach is. Or maybe because when you're dealing with Sipurim in the Torah, it doesn't have to be justified with the hechrach. It's that already gives us allowances. That's what I'm wondering. It doesn't have to be based on the column of this Gemara. This Gemara is uniquely applicable to situations of parshios of Torah. And then just to finally close with this, again, we can almost go on with this topic, but we mentioned before that even when there is something that's out of order, you can always find reasons why the Torah chose to do it. So the Sipur of the Mishkan, why, if you hold like the Medrash, like Rashi says, that the store, that the Tzivoya Mishkan was after Cheta Ega, why did Torah put it where it does? Rabbeinu Bachaya says, because we know that it was meant to be a kapara for Chet HaEgel, according to these midrashim, that's the whole point of the Mishkan. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been a Mishkan. So, this is the rule. The Gemara says in Megillah that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Magdim Refuah L'Maka. Magdim Refuah L'Maka. That's why Dixon Beseresh already, you know, were caught before even Esther was made, before Haman was even rose to power, was ready to have the basis for the Yeshua even before the Makkah, even from Haman caused the decree to be issued. So we know that since the Mishkan was a kapar for Chet HaEgel, Rachel Darchi Noam, says Rabbeinu Bachye, Ratzisa Lahagdin, Inyan Maisya Mishkan, Shi Kapara Kol Shiaskir Avonahu. It's interesting application because here the tziva didn't exist, but the very tziva, the very fact that it's in the Chumash, which is interesting, there's a reality to the text of the Chumash. The fact that the Torah can put the Maisa Mishkan, the Tzivoya Mishkan, where it is already a paradigm that the refuah is here before the Makkah. Why was all just prior to Yom Diyoma, Baruch Hashem, I got yesterday the second dose of the vaccine. So I don't know what that means exactly. I don't know what it means. Nobody knows anything, but my arm hurts. That's all I know. More than that, I don't know. But meanwhile, if you look at the whole history of how the technology evolved, there were people already working on these things before there was even a corona, and it wasn't going anywhere. And somehow or other, then the market came, but there was already something, a very hard start. Then the money started pouring in, but in a certain way, you recognize a certain hashgachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the extent that Mitzvah Hashem, it should hold, and it should be the right thing, it should be good for all the strains and whatever else, and it should have, any long-term chas v'sham, any long-term effects. But the fact that there was already in the world something that would be able to be utilized for what they didn't know at the time would even be relevant. It's a very interesting application also. This, okay, I'll say good day.